Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 723, Giving Old Friends Warm Welcomes, recorded on March 3rd, 2020. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm, and we are not here with GT because this is an impromptu podcast. Because I will not be here for the rest of the week, I'm on a work trip, and it's past GT's bedtime. So we are doing this podcast impromptu with one of the other people that has recently joined the Podtacular crew here. So welcome, Ace of Spades, to the Podtacular staff. Hello.
Hello, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Not first-time caller, actually.
Well, I feel like it's been long enough that, like, the radio station probably went through a rebranding. I'm now first time.
It has been a while, I will give you that.
Been a long time. But I never lost faith. One of these days.
Yes.
My late-night habits would be called upon. And here they are.
Yeah. So very good. Well, we are going to be going over a little bit of news because something exciting happened today that we want to talk about before it gets too far out of our hands. And since Ace is one of our newest additions here to the Podtacular staff, we want to kind of give a little interview of who he is for those who haven't heard him on here before and what he's going to be helping out with. But before we do that, we're going to go through the Podtacular events from the last few days, the last 5 days, and not the last week. Since GT is not here, I'll do the Fragging Friday bit. We actually had to split up into two lobbies because the vote that we had for game night actually ended up with a 50-50 split of Halo 5 on Xbox and... Halo 5 on Xbox and MCC on Xbox. So GT actually did the lobby for MCC, and I did the lobby with Halo 5 with Riding Spartan. And the GT, I think, had at most 1.8 people in his lobby, so they were able to continue doing matchmaking for a while. And then for us on the Halo 5 side, I think we got 5 people or so in there. So it was a good night.
Still sounds like it was a larger than usual lobby size that like your average person would expect to be a part of.
It's been actually a very good turnout for the past few weeks, and not this past week, but the week before, we actually had a full lobby of 16.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
I think involvement is what's really been improving, and for that, I can definitely say I, for one, appreciate that. Because it's nice to see people getting out there and voting, and then when the vote comes through, taking part, you know, in the actual Fragging Friday.
Yeah, we're still trying to get to the point where people that are going to be participating are actually voting, and GT actually kind of made a good observation where some people probably just don't vote because they don't care which one that we're playing, so sometimes
There are a large population of listeners that probably are just like, hey, I'm just down to play with you guys, like, it doesn't matter what Halo.
Right.
So it's definitely tough when you're just like, oh, what one of these three things that I enjoy playing do I specifically want to play?
But we're still doing the polls. We're still making sure that those go up every week, at least when I'm here. And that might be something I delegate out to a couple other people that might be helping me with posts on social media. Wink, wink.
I want to meet these people. They sound like fun chums.
Well, we'll meet them in just a second.
Excited.
Yeah. On the achievement side, we did not do a stream because I actually had to do some work over the weekend for some senior briefs that are going on this week. So unfortunately, no Halo Wars 2 achievement stream, but we're still getting pretty close with achievements, so we'll probably be done this month with all those achievements for Halo Wars 2.
I admire your dedication.
Thank you. On the article front, we have two new ones. We did do a streamer spotlight this week, even though the past 2 weeks we actually didn't do one. So the streamer spotlight, or the streamer showcase, actually, was Savage Giggles. Some people may recognize her from Halo Outpost as being the person behind the mask of Hazel. Mm-hmm. She is also canonically the appearance of Hazel, and she is also a very good friend of mine. Her stream was actually the one that got us up to 16 a couple weeks ago in our game nights, because her party actually came over and joined us for like the last hour of game night. So that was a lot of fun.
It sounded like it. I definitely missed out on this last one because of church responsibilities. But I think I caught the tail end of it, and the lobby was still relatively full even late into the evening.
Yeah. It gets pretty crazy. There was a while where I know when we first started doing this that GT didn't really do much as far as going past 10:30, but now since people have really been just coming in troves and staying, we've actually been going till 11 o'clock just because there's enough people there to keep the lobby going. And even after game night's over, there's still people playing. I remember
there was one time where I was like, oh, hey, I wonder what everyone's doing. And I was like, oh, Fraggin' Friday's still going on, I guess. And I looked into like the Discord lobby, and there was just like tons of people still hanging out there. And I was like, I wonder if that part of the night where they like play the 200 kill Fiesta deathmatch. Those are always fun.
Oh, those are painful.
Those are painful, but those are also where like the most natural conversation. Like, you want to talk about like getting a good podcast, and there's where you're going to get your natural conversation. Because people just quit caring about the kills at a certain point.
Yeah. Once it gets past like 50 or 100 kills, then people are just wanting the game to be over.
Yeah, they're wanting it to be over. Yeah, they're either wanting it to be over, or they're hunting a specific person or trying to get a kill with a specific weapon. Like, it becomes very goal-oriented and not like win the game goal-oriented.
Yeah. And with those, for those who have not stayed around for those types of games after game night, it usually gets down to the point where for the last kill, it has to be an assassination.
Oh yeah, that I forgot. That's the rule.
That's the unspoken rule. Actually, that gives me an idea for a little Halo Infinite idea of having.
Oh, you want game winning rule sets?
Yeah, why not?
Because I saw you did one for overtime, so it wouldn't be out of the stretch of possibility to do one for like getting the final score.
Yeah. That was my one from yesterday or that was number 75.
That one actually had a little bit of interaction. And those are when you do those and then like people like interact with them or provide their own feedback on it, to me, that's where it really gets fun.
Yeah, it really does. Because people kind of offer their own little twists on it, or they're like, oh my gosh, this would be so great kind of thing. I was hoping mine from today would have been a little bit more engaging. I took a little bit of a quote unquote risk with mine and entered into the realm of what we could see in the campaign with today's.
And that's the problem, is sometimes like people are real touchy touching campaign like mainstays.
Yeah. So my idea for today, if people are interested on here, is how cool will it be to have a mission where you're supported by the Spirit of Fire on Halo? You're in a battlefield trying to take an objective among other units that could be orchestrated by Cutter based on your actions.
See, and I see where that's like, I could envision that in my mind. Like, I can, in my mind's eye, I see that scenario playing out. And the only like thing that I think is kind of like touch and go with that is it makes Halo seem almost like Battlefield-y. Like, the objective is more just capture A or capture B. And I feel like Halo is a lot more linear progression based. Like, you know, you're going to this point to encounter this thing and uncover this story. And there's not really a lot of like grand scale moving the front forward battles.
Well, and that's why I specifically added on there based on your actions in game. Because, yeah, you don't want it to be like you're in a battlefield type thing, or you're basically you're trying to mimic moves that are orchestrated by an AI, you're the ones basically dictating the fight. You want it to be natural, still in that first person environment, but make it feel like you're part of a greater battle that's going on.
Yeah, I could see that, especially because I mean, they have stuff like where you call in, you know, artillery or shots in like reach and stuff like that with the target indicator.
Yeah.
So it would be cool if they had like a variation on that that had like a cooldown, or, you know, was designed to like take out certain targets or whatever.
Yeah. And like the whole, what was the system called for like ordering your Spartans around in Halo 5?
Oh, I know, not the Artemis, but
because like think of it. Blue team had that too. But you could have something like that integrated possibly as well.
Yeah, where you could give like kind of generalized orders, you know, go there, attack this, you know,
yeah,
stuff. I could see that. That's definitely a possibility, as long as they keep it in that regard, where it's more like an ability or an item used and not necessarily like a grand, you know, war kind of deal. So definitely a possibility. I'm with you. I'm surprised. I figured that would have gotten a lot more. But what if?
But. Well, and some of these are just really, like, I'm still trying to figure out when the optimum time is, and it seems like it shifts a little bit, because I know for the tweets that I put out, between 11 and 12 Eastern time is kind of one of those hot spots as far as people paying attention to things on social media. So I kind of mix around with like having it scheduled at 11:15, 11:30, 11:45. That kind of stuff.
I think you're hitting just around that time. Like, there's, I think I read somewhere one time that was like a sweet spot of times. But the thing is, you know, with time zones and people's schedules and everything, you can never really like have the optimum time, especially when it comes to Twitter, because people are really bad about just scrolling through Twitter to just consume information, and much less to like seek out interactiveness. Right. And so you think, oh, okay, well, then I'll do it on Facebook. Well, then that's its own nightmare of, you know, making sure your post is even seen.
Facebook, I don't care nearly as much because I have so few followers on Facebook. I was at 118, and I think I'm actually down to 117 right now.
Well, I think that's on purpose.
Why, you thinking someone intentionally unfollowed
someone me? Someone unfollowed to make sure it's 117.
Well, I appreciate the sentiment, but you can refollow again if you're listening.
All right, hang on. Let me get in there.
Very nice. And then for Machinima Monday, we actually had a new one from someone I haven't really recognized in the Machinima community before, but he actually has a little bit of some history with Machinima, it looks like. This is by the Chronicler 177. Wait, is that right? Yeah, it is 177.
Sure sounds right.
177. Well, it's like, I'm used to seeing 117, not 177, so I'm like making sure it's not a typo, but it's not a typo. And this is the Brotherhood War trailer. And it's actually a pretty interesting trailer. It's not as dark as our Machinima from last week, Hitchhikers, thankfully. But this is an upcoming series that's going to be coming out in a few months. And it's alongside of another Machinima series that I think is a continuation from a previous Machinima series. So go check it out on the website. On the company commendations front, we're still going for the Achilles helmet. As far as the top commendations that we have for killing an opponent that shot you first, we are almost to that 1,000 mark. We are 1,092 away.
I'll never get that commendation for you guys. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that there. If someone starts shooting me first, it's either I'm going to hide so they quit shooting me, or I'm going to panic. There's not going to be any pro like, oh, I'm gonna shoot you back first. Like, they're always gonna get me. So it's either hide or panic.
That's when you just play Fiesta and make sure you always have an explosive.
Yeah, see, whenever I play Fiesta, I go on like a nice little streak. I'm like, yeah, Fiesta's great. And then the game's like, yeah, you're having way too much fun. So here's a plasma pistol and a plasma rifle. Good luck.
I see you have some frustrations there.
I absolutely adore Fiesta because it means like every, because to me, Fiesta is great because death isn't a bummer. You know, like on a lot of Halo, you know, you're like, oh, I just got the sniper. Oh, I just got the shotgun. Now I gotta start all over with my assault rifle and make the Fiesta is great because like death is just another opportunity.
Yep.
And I know that sounds really philosophical, but you know, you might respawn and be like, oh, snap, shoddy rockets. All right, let's go.
Yep. Reroll the dice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
especially if you're playing like Halo 5 Fiesta and you start getting the weapon super varieties Fiesta and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the stuff right there.
Yes. Yes, it is. Lawnmower, which is splattering enemies. We have another 402 on that one. And then getting assassinations, we have 418. So those are actually almost neck and neck.
Yeah, those are really close. Here, I'll knock out the lawnmower one. That's my go-to.
That's your specialty.
That's my go-to.
Yeah. We actually have a playlist coming up next week that will help with that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that in a minute. And then at the bottom are the two that are always at the bottom, which is Killing Marines. We have 8,057 out of 38,900 to get for those.
Good lord.
And then Shoulder Bashes, which we're currently 1,560 out of 9,700.
Those just, I've seen other on Twitter, you know, occasionally on Twitter, you'll see somebody that's also like sharing their Spartan, you know, companies combinations that they're shooting for. And I see a load of people going for the shoulder charges. And I just feel like that's such a like hit or miss thing because a shoulder charge is not always going to kill. And so you're basically setting up the kill to then shoulder charge. And it's just really tough. So,
you know where it always kills?
Hmm.
SWAT.
Well, yeah, but then you're then the trick is, can I rush this guy who's trying to shoot me in the head and shoulder charge him before he does that?
If you get a map that has close enough quarters, like the rig, then you can usually get a few out of it. But yeah,
that's fair. The rig, you can definitely do it. But knowing my luck, I'll get some huge open map where it's just like, cool, I respawn, and I'm dead.
Yeah, they get a little painful.
That being said, I love SWAT. It makes you feel so powerful whenever you get a headshot. Y'all, yes. And just ignore the fact that you're like seconds from death.
Right. And then for Tales from the Foxhole, we haven't had anything new posted in our Discord. But I'll just remind everybody, if you have a chance to share anything that you have as far as a story from Halo, whether it's just kind of interacting with other community members or a cool screenshot or video that you want to share, then we have a channel on our Discord for you to share that. It's Tales from the Foxhole. So go ahead on over and drop a link or drop your story in there for us to read on the show.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. And the best part is usually what happens is when one person does it, everyone else feels emboldened to, you know, oh, well, check out what I did. So be that person.
Yeah. I actually need to post my crazy snipe. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, Ace.
Yeah, I watch you, unfortunately.
Okay. hey, now. But I got a call out because we were doing, I think it was just Slayer.
It looked like Slayer.
Coliseum, yeah. And I was over on Blue Main or Blue Bridge, and I got a call out that there was someone coming to Red Base from Red Elbow. And you can barely see the top of the person's head running across, and I somehow get a miraculous snipe on the smallest angle that you possibly could get it.
Yeah, I didn't even see the head. I was just like, no, that was you shot, and just the guy happened to be there. As far as I was concerned, like you may have been in a moment like, oh, there he is, and fired. But as far as I could tell, you were just like firing a shot, hope somebody's there.
Yep, I got so lucky with that shot. So shot. Lucky. Thank you. I get them every once in the blue moon.
I don't. I get sticks. I get lucky sticks.
But you get sticks and splatters.
But well, a man's all about specializing, and that's what I'm about.
Yeah. So we've got our matchmaking update for this week. We've got Halo 5 stuff. MCC's not out yet, but Ace, what we got coming for Halo 5?
I believe it's March 5th is when the Spring 2020 Arena season begins.
Yeah.
So all of you who are not me and really worried about your rank over in Arena, it's time to get them silvers and golds and leave me in iron where I belong. also on March 5th, Mythic Arena rotates in to ranked for March. I think I saw somebody posted about that on Twitter, and everyone was super excited for Mythic Arena's return. Also on March 5th, Halo 2 BR Slayer rotates in for Action Sack, which if you're ever playing matchmaking and you're like, oh, I want to run into Ace, that's where I hang out, is Action Sack.
Action Sack.
something about not ever knowing truly what you're playing makes me happy.
There you go.
And then coming up next week on the 12th, we'll have Castle Wars rotate in for Halo 2 BR Slayer. So if you really like Halo 2 BR Slayer, you've got a week, and that's that. Warzone Assault goes live. Those are always really fun Warzone Assault maps. Also on March 12th. And then on March 19th, Triple Team rotates in for Castle Wars.
That's going to be a dead playlist.
That's going to be a very dead playlist.
It'll be populated for the weekend, and then come Monday, it'll be dead.
It'll be gone, yeah. Everyone will be off finishing their arena.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that happens on March 19th. But on March 26th, core play rotates in for Triple Team, so you don't have to worry about Triple Team too long. And then that same day, Warzone Turbo goes live. So if you're like, oh, I really like playing Warzone, but I hate committing an hour and a half to playing it, well, then I've got news for you. March 26th, that's your day to finally grind out your Marine kills. Hint, commendation.
That's a turbo time.
That's called a callback.
Yes. Yes, it is. Alrighty. Well, thanks for the update, Ace.
What again, I'm here for.
Yep. Again, no updates for MCC because we are recording this on a Tuesday, and those updates usually come out on Wednesday, but we have another update.
Excuse me. There's a huge update for MCC.
Yes. Yes. There's a pretty big one.
Me.
In substitution for what is normally posted. So, big news. Halo CE Anniversary is now out on the PC version of the Master Chief Collection.
Like, out of nowhere, too. Yeah. You know, when MCC was launching, I remember there was a lot of buzz about, coming soon. You know, and we knew Reach was going to be the first title. And then literally everybody woke up today and there was a trailer of like, oh, hey, by the way, CE's out.
Yep.
And
CE Anniversary is ready for to play. It's like, wait, what?
I'm convinced that Microsoft/343 must be sitting there going like, all right, so we've got all these Halos. Are we ready to launch them? And then someone just went, no, make them wait. Because they are like drip feeding us Halos.
Well, and the flight just ended 6 days ago.
Right. That's why I say like they've got this ready and then they're just like, go.
Well, they have. I mean, if they were flighting stuff out through the 27th and then it didn't take them that long to integrate those changes into the game, they must have a pretty well streamlined mechanisms for getting those fixes into the game.
Oh, for sure. I mean, but I mean,
it's great.
At the same time, like, I mean, we're on like, what, like if we counted each Halo that they've ever released, we're on like what, like Halo 12, 13 or whatever. Like at this point, they got to be good at it. Okay. There's got to be this nice, perfect system in place.
Yeah. No, they've had, what, since 2014 to come up or to kind of work out some of the kinks, so.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And we've been all waiting for those kinks.
Yes. And they've been slowly rolling out, which is good.
Very slowly.
Yep. So the first article we have is actually the MCC dev update for February. This is posted by Postums over on HaloWaypoint.com. And there are four different key areas that they break down the article into. First one is the February flighting, everything that was happening over the past couple of weeks, what they were aiming to do, and some of the things that they had fixed. So they actually had 1 week-long flight, and then they extended the flight for another 3 days after they had found some additional things that they wanted to test out with the community. So there is a full list of issues that they resolved from flighting over on Halo Waypoint. I won't go through and read them all, but there's quite a laundry list of things that were broken that they fixed. So things like customization, multiplayer settings, of course, all the things with mouse and keyboard and trying to get that in there. So a lot of that stuff was resolved. And then there's some other just general UI stuff that wasn't working properly. So a lot of that stuff is something that they were.
I mean, I'm sure the hardest thing is also doing like the cross play, kinks and bugs, because you've got a game that was originally you know, release for Xbox One, and the anniversary release was done, and now they're trying to integrate in PC, which did have the Halo original release, but now they're trying to make it, like, there's probably this whole host of things that they had, that, like, tiny little details that you wouldn't even think of, but somebody would have experienced them if they didn't solve it, and then everyone would be like, oh, they ruined the release, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, they're just trying to make sure, like, even with us complaining about how slow the releases are between, like, you know, we got Reach, now we're all just chomping at the bit for 1, 2, 3, and 4. But with the fact that we're going from an Xbox system to a mouse and keyboard PC system, but they still need to be able to play with the other, you know, and not have any issues. I don't even want to imagine all the tiny little micro bugs they have to work out just to make sure that that one subset of people doesn't experience it.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff to go through, and trying to get these games over in the working state for modern day PC is no small feat to begin with. And I know, I think I've said this before, but there is a graphic shared around social media from time to time where it's like, okay, you start off with Halo C on PC, which was ported to Gearbox for the PC, which then was re-updated for CE anniversary, which then went over to MCC as a port.
Oh, yeah. Poor Halo 1 has been on a ride.
Halo 1's just been dragged in the dirt to stay modern. It's like, all right, coming on. You're the thing that started this whole thing in the first place. Come on.
I mean, I know we make the joke that Skyrim releases for every system, but I mean, here we are, you know, and not for any small reason, but excited about Halo 1's launch on the PC again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, that's the power of a franchise right there.
I wonder if the Halo CE and Custom Edition populations are going to diminish because of MCC with CE anniversary coming out to PC.
You know, with all of the additions and, you know, like upgrades that you get from playing like the MCC version, yeah, I think like that's, well, they'll be like, they'll always be purists, but a lot of people will be like, you know what, this is the shinier version, this is the supported version.
Yeah. I don't think Custom Edition will be impacted too much because there's still a lot that you can do in there that probably won't be as easily doable in CE Anniversary, at least for a while, because all the tools have already been made for Custom Edition.
You know what's really wild is when we're going to get Halo 2.
Yeah.
All the Vista people will emerge from their holes.
Yes, yes. Which is actually, little known fact,
be nostalgic for me.
Yeah, it's where Ace and I actually first met.
Yep, I believe...
Chicken Waffle.
It was definitely Chicken Waffle, but I couldn't remember if we met strictly through matchmaking or through, like, Halo 2's crazy, like, hey, try your friend's maps things, like the custom server browser.
Yeah, it was through a custom, and we were on the map. I remember it was a rocky map that was forged and had a base on one side and had some rock pillars on the other side with some balconies kind of going on the side of the canyon.
So all you guys who were like, oh yeah, Halo 5 Forge when it came out, it was crazy. And I'm just sitting here going like, you amateurs. Let me tell you the days of stepping in and going like, what is this? Who got their Unreal Engine degree like last night and built this? What's going on?
Yeah, there was some crazy stuff that came out of Halo 2 Vista. And granted, it wasn't as successful as Halo Custom Edition was on PC.
Oh, no, not at all. But I mean, I feel like the problem with the reason like Vista wasn't so popular is actually that little bit there, the Vista part. It made it almost too exclusive.
A little bit, yeah. Especially when there weren't quite all the tools needed there to do everything that people were used to doing in Halo Custom Edition.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, people were eating it up because of its machinima capabilities, just because it was, you know, on PC.
Yeah.
Didn't have to worry about a capture card, which back in those days was a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
Nowadays, it's just like, yeah, I guess I'll order one.
Yeah. Let's see. The last thing here, as far as the flighting stuff goes, is they tested out some new code regarding the crouching while moving. And it seemed like a lot of people had some positive feedback about that. So with the update, they're actually implementing that for PC players. And I know I'd seen a couple of places around where people were saying, well, what about controller support? And I think that's something that they're still looking into, trying to figure out how they don't break other control setups with trying to do that there. But for all you mouse and keyboard people doing the strafing crouching, it should be working on Reach now.
Yeah, and they'll always make sure that controllers are supported. But, you know, when you're releasing a game for PC, like, your primary concern is making sure M&K works.
Yes. Especially on PC. If they're trying to make this trying to reintroduce it as a PC shooter, then they need to make sure that those are core Absolutely. Features. Yeah. The next section in here is a design update. So this is a little bit all over the place, but Max Laser, he's providing some updates on the season. There's also a double XP event happening from February 28th to March 9th. So another 6 days of when we're recording this. So all medals and XP caps have been doubled for this duration. As far as the MCC update goes, to put everyone's fears to rest, they're not doing any customization on CE or doing anything crazy like that. And they did come out and say that seasons will not necessarily be tied to game releases.
Which is unfortunate, because now we have to go back to the drawing board of when they're coming out.
With another one, yeah.
Yeah. We were all like, oh, we figured out the process. And they're like, no, that's not it.
So each season will be set around content that they want to add to the game that is meaningful. So, I mean, in Halo 2, that could be additional emblems. I don't know how the customization is going to be there, if they can customize it at all. Halo 3 might be new armor sets.
I saw somebody say, so when are we getting Halo 3 anniversary?
There won't ever be a Halo 3 anniversary.
Yoosh. Okay. Let a boy dream.
People need to get their expectations in check.
Let a boy dream. Okay. The 360 was decades ago. Let a boy dream.
It still looks good.
It could look better.
There's some new features for Halo CE Anniversary on console and PC, and that is from the community responses to having the classic multiplayer sounds in MCC. So now there is a toggle option for you to either have the classic Halo CE sounds or the newer Halo CE Anniversary sounds for multiplayer, and that will be in settings.
Hmm. Now that's neat.
Yeah. And because of some of the things that they're having to do as far as an Xbox update and some of the additional bug fixes, if you haven't downloaded the update, it's going to be 60 gigs.
Yeah, I looked the other day because, like, my internal hard drive was filling up a little bit. So I'm just going through, like, you know, well, what do I not really play / like, what, you know, is taking up the most room? And I looked at, like, how much room, like, MCC takes up, and I was just like, you're lucky I like you.
Yeah, on console, it's almost 100 gigs.
It is I know everyone made the joke about, like, how big, like, the Modern Warfare update was, but, like, Halo MCC is such a beast of a game, and it's just going to keep getting bigger.
Yeah, not too much bigger.
I just mean, like, if they make any updates that adds any kind of content, like, it's going to have to be a hefty, you know, update, because it's got to make sure to gel with everything. And so it's a beast that will forever grow.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about the way that CE was built, all the assets are in the map. So one of the things for CE is because they have 4K graphics in there and everything, or like update the textures.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to putting on the anniversary update on my PC with the pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. And then with the, like, them injecting the sounds into the game, that basically means you have to re-download every single multiplayer map, because those sounds are stored in the map files. They're not single audio files.
They were not tied to, like, your character or anything like that. Like, it was per map.
Yeah. Now, thankfully, in Halo 5, they were able to decouple it, even though they were still on the Blam engine. But with Halo Infinite, there's probably going to be a lot more versatility there to where updates aren't going to be nearly as huge.
Halo Infinite idea, 75 small updates.
You mean 77?
Whatever we're on.
Tomorrow is the 77, which I already have one planned for tomorrow. But
I lost count after four.
Well, the thing was, like, when I first did it, I wasn't sure I was going to, like, I didn't have any notion of doing it daily. But then people started liking them. I'm like, okay, I'm onto something here. So now I'm doing them daily. And I still have some ideas. So
just I'm be still careful getting to there. Not get writer's block. Start throwing out crazy stuff.
I almost had it today.
Idea number 133. Make Master Chief orange.
Make him Griff, basically.
Make him orange with a green visor. Invert colors.
That would be weird. That'd be really weird.
I want to see that now. Reddit, get on it. r/cursedimages. I want to see an inverse.
No.
I want to see an inverse Chief.
Make it so sad. The next thing we have is Halo CE customization updates. So people may have realized that the model that's in the customizer doesn't really look like how it looks like in game.
No, not at all. I've always wondered that. I was like, why am I bothering with this?
Yeah. So they did say that in MCC, you can make the customizations, but it doesn't really match up necessarily with what it looks like in game. So they're going to continue to work on it. But for now, you're kind of screwed.
It's an interesting system because we're complaining about customization for something where the greatest customization you had was like the flattest of colors.
Yeah.
So like we're all like, what about my customization? And they're just like, look, this is not a thing we had to worry about back then.
Yeah. And it's interesting some of the names they have here. Like a lighter green is lapis lazuli. There's cherry for red.
I always hated the colors because like my go-to colors for all of my Halo career has always been black and blue. And you're like, okay, what color do you want? I want steel. No, I don't want steel. Black. Give me black. Oh, charcoal gray. No, just let's work on the blue. What are the blues? Sky and cobalt. I'm done.
Yeah, I don't know if I've selected this or put this in an idea. I think I have, but basically do the color palette.
Yeah, where you had the like the you. I think you basically alluded to like having a color wheel.
Yeah, kind of thing
where you can like really mess with the RGB values and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's a pretty common PC feature thing now too.
Oh, for sure. I could definitely see that being a thing. Being able to really like hone in on exactly the shade or the hue that you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was literally one of those ideas. When I read it, I was just like, why is this not already a thing? It's 2020. Like, why are we picking flat blank colors like it's Microsoft Paint?
Well, it is Microsoft
Paint, not they're, Paint Plus. They're
painting with colors.
I'm gonna let you have that one because it's been a while.
Okay, thank you.
You get three. Don't waste them.
Oh, okay. Oh, dang. I'm going to have to be careful then. On the Forge and Theater front, they're making progress, but it's something that they're still working on. So that will be coming in a later update.
Yeah, y'all be patient. It's forcing a system that wasn't designed to work with that.
Yeah. Hopefully soon, but yeah, it's still a work in progress. There's a couple other things. People have been noticing some spread issues with the Magnum and the sniper rifle and his Halo CE. So that's something that they're aware of and that they're trying to address. There's also some input latency things that they're working on to try to bring that down as much as possible with CE. And then there's some overall sustainment that they're working on. That they're trying to make sure is still there.
You guys who are out there able to meticulously note the spread on those weapons and everything, God bless you, because you're like looking at like the minutest of like that shot should hit, that shot shouldn't go there. And I'm just like, I know that the enemy's in front of me. Why are none of my bullets hitting?
There's some people that know these games in and out.
Oh yeah. And that's why I say like, bravo to you, because my level of spread is Why can I not hit anything with the pistol? He's literally 3 feet in front of me.
Yeah.
Spread's too big. What do you mean? It's not hitting my target. That's not spread. It's definitely spread.
Oh, and then people go and find the blank background and do a spread test. And
oh, sure I've enough, seen they that.
Find it. Yeah.
I've seen that. And I'm like, what are you guys like? Putting in your application video for like NCIS? What's going on here? Just
yeah.
You could see here with the M9 that, no, get out of here.
That's funny.
That's what I'm here for.
Yep. The next section in here is talking about audio. And unfortunately, it's a long freaking interview with Paul Lipson.
Hard pass.
Yeah, we're gonna have
you
to
do the TLDR on that one next time, Halo.
Yeah, we're gonna cover that one on the next episode. But Paul Lipson, you guys probably already recognize his work from, I believe he was the behind pretty much the Halo Wars 2 soundtrack, I think. But he's been around working with Halo 3 or not Halo 3, 343, and a lot of the orchestration there on the newer stuff. So we'll read that one and talk about it next week in a little more detail when we're back to our normal show.
When you don't have Sir Jokes a lot over here and you get back to Captain Series, you can read all about the audio.
And then the last section here is state of the game. So updates on banhammers. So again, AFKs and macros. These will be bannable. Sword lining, still bannable. Firefights, suicides, still bannable.
I haven't got... everyone gets to make their opinion, and now that I'm on here on this public forum, I'm going to say it. Sword lighting is going to be bannable. If you have any problems with it, sorry. That's just... Sorry.
Yeah.
I know it's the state of the game. I know some people think that's the only way... No, sorry. You're ruining it for the rest of us.
Yep. There's some top reported issues that are still being looked into. Audio issues, some stuttering issues, menu performance issues. There's still things with screen tearing and VSync. Some bugs have been identified and they're in the development roadmap. No updates for co-op latency. EAC error messages is something that they're continuing to investigate. Key bindings. They're still working on double key bindings, which I really am looking forward to once they get back. Mouse input stuff, view models, crouch while moving. That's been fixed. Idle stops matchmaking. It's on the list, but it's low priority right now. Aim assist, no updates on that at the time. And then achievement issues and support tickets. They've identified some bugs around the Steam achievements, and they're working on fixes there. There's a list of global fixes and some development stuff that they're working on. So stuff that's still actively developed that's past the flighting progression system, including challenges. So for people that are still looking forward to challenges coming into the game. UI and UX improvements around navigation, roster, and customization for other areas of the game. Text chat improvements and double keybinds. Something that, or things that are in the design iteration, which means they aren't actively in development, but they're being worked on as far as like figuring out how they want to do this. Additional mod support, additional video settings and options, and then an in-game FPS cap and other FPS adjustments. And then the things in the backlog, input-based matchmaking. That's going to be an interesting one.
That'll be a very interesting one.
Yeah, because people can switch inputs mid-matchmaking.
I almost imagine, though, like that it would lock it. Like, so if you play with a controller and you try and switch, it won't register unless you are using the controller. At least that's how I'd handle it.
Yeah, probably.
If you load with a controller, it's like being able to change key bindings, you know, and some key bindings
are... If that's something that they want to test and then they get that working, that might be a way to make cross-platform work.
Right? If someone wants to use, you know, mouse and keyboard, fine, cool. It's kind of like certain settings in game, like when you start playing a game and it's like, okay, well, if you want to apply this, you have to restart your game. Same thing for a controller. If you decide to use a controller, cool. Until you're not in a game, you can't change that.
Well, and then you can let people at that point use mouse and keyboard on Xbox.
Correct. Which there is support for, so.
Yeah, it just has to be enabled in the game.
Yep.
Yeah. So then it becomes one build.
You're 343. I know you're listening.
Sometimes they are, different actually. Voice. I don't think they're always listening, but I think sometimes they are listening.
And I know I'm a different voice, show. So you're like, who is this schmuck? Trust me, I am a schmuck, however.
I think they know who you are.
Well,
Some people know who you are.
I got that record expunged, so hopefully they
Regional service selection, cross-play between Xbox and PC. So there you go.
Ah, how about that?
Just had to read down a couple more bullets. Steam account linking. VFR improvements, idle system improvements, customization improvements. For the idle system, please make it to where it's more than 1 minute.
Yeah.
Especially when matchmaking searching takes a long time. People aren't just going to sit there and wiggle their sticks waiting for a matchmaking game to be hit.
Yeah, that's quite possibly. I know they say that was low priority, but that to me is one of those things of like, hey, can we put like at least two or three more guys on trying to fix this? Because it's the worst when you're like, all right, we're waiting for a game and everyone like kicks back, go gets a drink or whatever, and you come back and people are yelling at you, wiggle your sticks. It's like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm matchmaking, I've set stuff down. Like, I'm just waiting.
Yeah. And then, like, you go away, you're getting a drink or doing something, and you're waiting to hear that countdown beep.
Yeah,
that little when it's ready. It's like, okay, I know I need to get back to my desk.
Right.
Or my game station or my couch or whatever.
Especially on PC, you might be alt-tabbed, and so you've got it open. You can still kind of see it, but you're not, like, actively monitoring it or anything.
Yep. Better ways to report players, bringing PC features to consoles like FOV sliders, additional accessibility support, and custom game browser.
That's the good stuff right there. Custom game browser.
Yeah,
give it to me.
I'm on the bottom of the list right now.
Move it up. Hack in. Move it up. That's my jam. It's basically going to be Halo 2 Vista all over for me again. Joining game. See what happens.
Yeah. So that's it for the February dev update. Again, we'll go over the audio stuff next week when we have more time to actually read through it and digest it. And then on over to the official announcement of CE Anniversary being available on PC. So this is, again, on Waypoint, posted by Sketch. This is earlier today, which today is March 3rd for us, for those listening via download. Actually, all this
spoiler.
Will be download because it's not live.
Spoiler.
So, obviously, everything is now in 4K, 60 FPS, as long as your machine can support it. UHD as well. Some things to note. There's the new customization 3D model viewer. Again, we kind of mentioned that doesn't quite exactly match the in-game look and feel of your Spartan, but it's
done
being worked on. It's being worked on.
It's on the to-do list.
Yeah. So all the same stuff that we got for Reach is pretty much in there for CE Anniversary as far as FOV sliders, variable frame rate, key bindings, ultra-wide, and alternate resolution support, yada, yada, yada. There's some other updated stuff as far as being able to see data center ping values. Message of the day was also added. There's updated zoom controls for different mouse keyboard configurations. And then there's also push-to-talk voice chat and push-to-talk key bindings as well.
Which is always a good thing to get in play. Because like I know a lot of people just use external voice and everything, but some people are purists and use the in-game. So
yeah. On the matchmaking side, this is what we've got for CE coming to PC. And I think this is probably going to be also influenced into the Xbox side of things as well. But here are the options. So on competitive games, there is going to be Halo CE Hardcore Doubles. This is 2v2 with Hardcore Slayer rules. On the social side of things, there is 1v1, which is Precision Slayer. 2v2, which is Precision Slayer and Asset Denial. 4v4, which is Precision Slayer, Auto Slayer, Flag and Bomb, Zone Control, Asset Denial, Action Sack, and Snipers. 8-player FFA is Slayer, Zone Control, Asset Denial, Action Sack, and Snipers. And then 8v8 is Precision Slayer, Flag and Bomb, Zone Control, Action Sack, and Snipers. And for those who are looking for a clarification, Precision Slayer basically means you start with a pistol. Auto Slayer means you start with an AR.
Hmm. I guess I've never really thought about Action Sack in Halo 1. Because, like,
it's probably some of the wacky game modes that have...
I know it's a thing, but like it's one of those things of like to me, true, like, crazy game types didn't really kick in until Halo 2.
Well, Halo 1 had a lot of obscure stuff, like Juggernaut and Race and some other oddball type things that don't fit into some of the other
zombies
game modes. Not as a default.
No, I mean, that was like when that got popular, I guess. So
well, yeah. But I'm talking about just like the native game
ones
modes
that were built into game types, yeah.
Yeah. And then on the Halo Reach social side, there's an update here. For the 4v4, they rotated in the featured Halo CE Anniversary category for Halo Reach, which contains the maps and game settings which emulate Halo CE.
So if for some reason CE came out and you were like, I'm not playing that, you still can.
Yeah, with the CE Anniversary maps that came out for Reach.
Like a weirdo.
Yeah. So some of the updates that are there for PC haven't made their way quite to Xbox One yet. But it is coming. Again, that'll be the 60 gig update that you get to download.
Good luck.
Yeah. So, CE Anniversary is also available on the Xbox Game Pass for PC, if you're one of those. And I believe it's also available in the GameStream beta on MCC. Although, I think the whole MCC is on that right now. But that's still
I
there.
Know the MCC is available on that.
Yeah, so that's so, I mean, there.
At minimum, you can indeed play Halo 1 mobily.
Yeah. And again, you can find the PC version on the Microsoft Store and Steam. The games are available as a bundle for $39.99. Can be purchased individually for $9.99. And then ODST campaign and Reach campaign are separately $9.99 a piece. Or $4.99 a piece if you want to add those on.
Mm-hmm.
But your best bang for the buck is just go with the bundle if you want to.
Yeah, just go with the bundle.
Yeah. We already talked to Double XP. That's happening through the 9th of March. There's a little section in here talking about feedback support. So they mentioned the Halo support site and making sure that you check the known issues list before you report any issues that you find. Additionally, the @HaloSupport Twitter account will post some tweets every now and then on things that they're aware of or looking into. So make sure you check all the known issues list and the Halo Support Twitter account before posting any issues to see if they are already aware of it and working on it. If you want to be a part of the Flighting for Halo 2 anniversary, then make sure you go over to the Halo Insider program and make sure that your profile is up to date. Again, you can go to haloinsider.com and update your profile to make sure that all your stuff is set up correctly. So if you've changed PC settings or if you've gotten upgrades and you need to update DX Diag, that kind of stuff, make sure you go over and do that. And that's it for the update for CE Anniversary. So it's here. It's available.
It's here.
Hidden Xperia has already posted a 4.5-hour run through on the campaign on his YouTube channel.
Because that's what that, of course he has.
Of course. So, yeah, people are excited about CE on PC.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
You think it might be a big deal?
Hmm? It might be, yeah.
Might be the thing that started it all? Maybe.
Maybe
people
maybe.
Are a little excited?
Maybe.
Halo 1?
Am I going to have to give you a notice too?
Yes.
All right, we do have a social post for us to go over, actually, since we recorded last time. So we've got a Today in Halo. What do we got on there, Ace?
So today in Halo, depending on how you look at it, was a sad day. Depending if you're looking at the meta side of things. March 3rd, 2553, following the events of Halo 3, the UNSC conducts a memorial near the accession site to honor those who perished during the conflict. I believe that's that famous scene where like 117 is scratched in the pelican tail fin.
It is.
And that's why I say like, I mean, it's sad because you're like, oh no, Master Chief, that's what we all thought. And then Halo 4 came around and divided the community straight down the middle.
Yeah, it did. It totally did.
It definitely did. I won't get on what side I stand in because that could be a whole other podcast, but yeah, that was a turning point for the franchise.
Yep.
But the event itself, it's not downplayed. All the actual people who were on that list.
Yeah. It's a long list. I don't know if that full list is anywhere. Probably Not because it's...
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I don't think we actually kept, like, a notated list of... Although it would be really messed up if it was, like, per game.
Oh, jeez. So,
like, you go through your list and you're like, no, Private Jenkins, why?
Yeah. So we have a new product that was posted either yesterday or today.
I saw that.
Just like we have the Halo Reach Game Pass that they were handing out at E3 and then released, there is now a Halo CE Anniversary mouse pad.
I know somebody who's going to want to complete a set.
Shut up.
I wasn't even referring to you, but now I am.
Oh, who are you referring to?
Claude, he had gotten the Reach one, and so I was like, well, you know you got to collect them all now. It's like Pokemon.
Oh. I'm considering it.
You're beyond considering it.
Shut up.
There it is.
At least I got the Reach one for free.
You'll figure out some way to get this one for free, too. Go ahead. Say it.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so.
You have poor context, then. Yes, the Halo CE mousepad. Get it now while supplies definitely don't last.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Unless you're like me, who's been using the extra long Corsair mouse pad for forever.
Hey, if it still works, no need to replace it, right?
It's just one of those things where, like, you know, don't need to replace it because it's not on fire yet. So,
hopefully, it doesn't catch on fire.
If it does, then it definitely is going to need replacing. But
well, yes, but the whole fact of it shouldn't really be catching on fire.
So far, flame free.
So far. Okay.
Flame free since 93.
You've had that thing since 93?
No. I was about to say, not really.
Okay. Like, dang, that's a long freaking time. That's an old mouse pad then.
They also probably didn't make extra long mouse pads.
I was going to say, it's like, was that even a thing back in those days?
I was beta testing.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I gave my feedback. I was like, best thing about it, long and it hasn't caught on fire. That's called a callback.
I need to clarify that a little bit. Anyways, so that's it for the Halo specific stuff that we've got. Let's do our little interview with Ace here.
Oh god, that's my name.
Yes, that's your name. Are you ready?
Hi, my name is Ace and I'm a Halo alcoholic.
Hi, Ace.
I've been not clean since 2005, or whenever Halo 1 came out. I don't remember.
Well, Halo 1 PC came out in 2003?
That's what I was saying. Like, I remember at my grandparents' house, I had Combat Evolved on... Actually, I remember I had two versions. I had Combat Evolved, but then for the longest time, I had the demo. And I remember the demo distinctly because if you beat the... Whenever you exited the game... It was Sergeant Johnson yelling at you to buy the game.
Yep.
And that's one of those weird memories that sticks in my mind, is Sergeant Johnson yelling at me to buy Halo Combat Evolved.
Buy one. Buy two. That's an order, soldier.
Yeah, that's one of those, like, you know how people say, like, commercials are stuck in their head? Like, that's 100% a commercial that's stuck in my head.
Yep, same for me. Exact same for me.
Because I remember playing that demo, because even the demo had a multiplayer on it, and I played the crap out of that multiplayer.
Yeah, that one, and then the ODST one.
Yeah, and that one's, yeah, that one's a lot more, like, impactful, and less, like, catchy remembrance, I guess. That tells you how long I've been at this.
Yeah. I mean, we've been around for a while.
Yeah, I have.
So... You probably know some of the default questions that we ask, so hopefully you're ready for this. And we've got a couple of special ones. So, and you kind of already answered one of the questions, which was, how did you get your start with Halo? But if you want to expand on that, you can.
So, yeah, like I said, I played a lot of the demo for Halo. Okay, so let's take a step back. I definitely didn't start with Halo Combat Evolved. I distinctly remember hanging out with my friend and playing Halo 1 on his Xbox and thinking, like, wow, this is like... Because I grew up in the era of, like, GoldenEye and everything as like the top first person shooter. And my dad and I would play GoldenEye. And so Halo was like this next new first person shooter for me to like latch onto. And I was like, wow, this is like, this is nice. Like this is, you know, everything feels right. You know, the story's cool. All the guns feel like varied enough to where like no two of them feel too similar. Like it was my dad preferred a lot of military shooters. And so, you know, you start getting a lot of samey guns. And so that's what I really liked about Halo was that it was sci-fi, but like the guns didn't feel like all of these have to shoot lasers because it's sci-fi. Like it just felt like humanity moved forward and this is what they did. But I can tell you the first Halo that I personally owned was Halo 2 Vista. Yes, I did not own Halo 2 at first. I played it a lot at a friend's house, but mine household for the longest time was a Nintendo household, and so we did not possess an Xbox or really a good working computer to play some of the Halos that had come out on PC. So in 2007, when I purchased my laptop for college, I will admit one of the very first purchases I made after that was Halo 2 Vista. And
right there with you.
I remember all the time, and my dad hates that I tell you this story because I got away with it. the deal that they did for the laptop, I remember it was a Dell laptop, and they had a deal where you could upgrade one component. So, like, you could upgrade the hard drive, or you could get a larger battery, you know, all these various different things. And I chose to upgrade the internal graphics card. And my dad was like, oh, are you just going to play video games on it? And at the time, I was going to do recording industry or video industry. And I was like, no, actually, you need an upgraded graphics card to do a lot of the video editing and stuff that you're going to be needing to do on a laptop. And he was like, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense. No, he was 100% right the first time, but I was going to college, so I was not about to say that, like, no, I want to upgrade graphics cards. I can play games on my laptop. Like, I wasn't about to say that, but that was definitely 100% the purpose behind going with the upgraded graphics card on it. And yeah, like, when I got the laptop, it was right around my, well, no, I guess this wasn't right around my birthday, but I remember we went out to get stuff for when I was going to college. And then I was like, hang on a second. So I'm walking by and I'm looking, you know, at all the different stuff. Because I was like, I got to get a game for my computer. You know, you get a new computer as a gamer, the first thing you got to do is, you know, am I loading Doom or, you know, Civilization? Like, what am I putting on this first? And I walked by and saw Halo 2 Vista. You know, it was games for Windows PC and all bright and shiny. I was like, I think I still have the box around here somewhere.
I've got my box.
I don't have my disc, but I've got my box. And so, yeah, that was where it all started. And that was, I always say that for why and everything that I love Halo, that was probably the perfect one to start with because it had so much baked into it. You know, it had a huge, great campaign that we already knew about. It had the multiplayer aspect, but the custom stuff is where it really shined because that's where I fell in love with like custom games and custom maps and just overall of like playing just with people and stuff like that. And ironically, you know, that's how I ran into this nerd here who has been running a Halo podcast for forever is on Halo 2 Vista. So that one will always have a special, you know, title in my heart when it comes to the franchise, just because it was the first one that I owned. It was the first one I played a ton with. I met a lot of friends, both online and in real life. I'll have to tell you about that if you get to like funnest Halo stories later, about how I met people for being the quote Halo guy at the dorm room. But to sum up, that was how I got started on Halo.
Wear that title proud.
I do. I do wear that title proud, sort of.
Yeah, very nice. And then our other question that we normally ask is, what do you do within the Halo community? But since you're kind of here because you're part of the Podtacular staff, like, the question kind of turns into, what are you doing with Podtacular?
Gosh, what do I do? I exist. I crack jokes. I attend Dustin's panels and yell at him throughout.
He's the token heckler.
I am the token heckler. Which,
for me and me alone.
Oh, it's the best. I think that's the only reason you got me on that one panel is so you could be like, ha, now you can't say anything. You have to actually say things, and they have to be constructive.
If only that were true.
But no, I believe my quote-unquote official title in Podtacular is social media manager or something to that effect.
Yep.
Which I am slowly pushing into a like more regular thing. There have been a lot of, with new year, new changes like in my personal life and some of the stuff that I've had to like, you know, renew this. We won't get too much into it, but Dustin knows with church, it's a high responsibility and a high priority for me. And we've been making a lot of changes there. So a lot of my time has been there. But I have been watching, and I have been like trying to stay personally involved on a lot of our social media posts. You may have noticed some of my more random posts popping up here and there while I was testing the waters, and I appreciate all of you who responded and interacted with that. It does make me feel good to know that like I'm not just throwing ones and zeros into the wind. But yeah, so what I'm currently doing in the community is the social media management. What I previously did in the community was part-time movie video maker, part-time therapist. I don't know if you remember back in the day when we had like TeamSpeaks and stuff of that nature.
Do you remember we had TeamSpeak?
Well, like, okay, X-Fire. TeamSpeak, Ventrilo, X-Fire, stuff like that. There would always be a room that people would make specifically for me to sit in. So that way when there were arguments that broke out, like people would come and tell me what they thought and then they'd swap. And then for some reason, somehow I was like the deciding factor.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I remember that a little bit back for like the early Cyberline days, but.
Yeah, I became like the therapist. And I hated it because I was friends with all these people. And so they're like, here's my side of the story. And then someone else would come in and go like, here's my side. And then they'd be like, I'd be like, all right, I'll come into the main room and tell you what I think. And I'm just sitting there going like, I don't want to go in the main room and tell them what I think. Cause they're both idiots. You both are arguing for no reason. And, I can't say that. But that's what I did. I helped with various communities, internally, which is why Dustin has decided that I should do social media because that's what I did, was basically keep the sanity from within.
Yeah. And there's also some other reasons there, which we won't necessarily get into, but...
Well, you know, cheap, didn't say no, but we won't get into that.
Yes, all that stuff is valid points. But yeah, it was... I mean, we're trying to get people that are willing to help out, and Ace has said over and over again... graciously that he'd be willing to help out however we can, so we found a little spot for him to help out with.
Yeah, I tried to, beyond, you know, proofreading your stuff and reading out responses of ridiculous game show answers.
Thankfully that was only for Outpost, and that's not happening again this year.
Yeah, but it'll happen next year, and then you'll be like, hey, so you need them.
Next year, yeah.
Infinite will be out, and you know they'll do it.
We'll see what next year holds.
It better hold Infinite.
Well, no. I mean, Infinite should be this year.
Keep that dream alive.
Why? What's your opinion on that?
My opinion is that of Shigeru Miyamoto's, which is a delayed game is eventually good, but a rushed game is always going to be bad. And I feel like we're going to get a little closer to the time, and they'll be like, and we just don't feel like this is the product that we want to put out, and it'll get delayed. And the entire community will go in an uproar because they feel like they had a date, and then that date moved. And that's why I just looked back at a delayed game is eventually good, but a rushed game is always bad.
Well, if they're having it be a Xbox launch, and they've been working on the game for almost 5 years at this point.
Yes. And how long has it taken Final Fantasy just to upgrade their graphics?
I haven't followed Final Fantasy, so I don't know.
Final Fantasy VII just released a demo of their Final Fantasy VII remake. And they've been working on that for forever, it feels like.
Fair point.
Not that I want it to be delayed, but if it is, I'm not going to be surprised, is how I'd say that.
I think just from the graphics that we saw during the E3 18 and 19 trailers, the graphics, at least like the engine at least, is pretty solid. They've got that pretty down pat.
But graphics are a third of the fight. And I think the thing that makes me feel like they might, you know, push back if they feel they need to, is do you remember the initial MCC launch for Xbox? I think they don't want that again.
But they didn't. It wasn't that bad for Halo 5, at least. There were problems, but it wasn't as bad for Halo 5. So I think they've already taken some lessons learned.
But that's why I'm saying, like, the initial MCC release is why I feel like there will be like, oh, this is the next big anticipated title. Let's make sure it's right.
I just found a random meme going through some servers as I was kind of clicking through Discord. And this one is goes by the California. He's UNSC and Marine in our channel. He's Peter Griffin online. And the meme says, CDC, the spread of the coronavirus is inevitable. Me, picture of the monitor. There's no choice. We must activate the ring.
So why is that true? That was funny. Why is that true?
Anyways, random
meme.
It's
the only way.
Random distraction.
It's the only way to make sure.
The only way to get rid of. Yeah. Anyways.
Yep.
Yeah. On the, let's see. What? Where were we? I lost.
I think we did all questions. The basics.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to these weird specialized.
Yep. So the last question that we asked this for Writing Spartan, which we're going to ask you, is what is it about Halo that keeps you coming back and investing time into the franchise?
Was not prepared. No.
Gotcha. Got him.
So so normally I would do the cop out. Oh, it's a two part, but like I stand with the crowd that while I enjoy 4, while I enjoy 5, I personally feel like if it Halo campaign wise, Master Chief saga wise had ended at 3, and I would not shed any tears. 4 is good, 5 is good in to varying degrees, but I feel like 3 was a good bookend, you know, for the series. So what really keeps me coming back is honestly, and this is going to sound cheesy for the fact that we're a Halo community podcast, is the community. That's really what brings me back each time and renews my like, oh, I'm going to fire up Halo right now. Because there are a couple of other communities that are like Halo's to a degree. But for a game that's a shooter, that to have a community behind it that is not like top of the line, you know, like they're not your Call of Duties with their 6 bajillion, you know, money purses for their tournaments. But Halo remains consistent and consistently like stays fun without ever being stale because of the fact that the community is like, hey, I thought of this ridiculous game mode. Hey, I thought of this crazy map idea. Hey, we just thought of this weird game type, you know? And you just don't get that in other game franchises. You know, in COD, you just don't have like, hey, we're going to, like, there's no such thing as Duck Hunt in Call of Duty. There's like cheap versions or whatever. I think I remember playing one called like Border Patrol that's very similar.
Okay.
To Duck Hunt, you know, where you run across a big open field and snipers on a roof try and shoot you, but it's nowhere near the same thing. And I mean, even beyond that, like we can all take a step back and realize that Duck Hunt on its own as a game type has evolved, because now people are like, play Duck Hunt, and you're like, okay, well, are we playing like the traditional like 5-story ones with all the different obstacles, and or are we playing the more latest one that I've seen where you're trying to run across and people are knocking over the shipping containers there's just so many variations on just that. And it's a custom game mode that has all these extra limitless possibilities. And it's not even something that Halo gave. And the community came up with it. Same for like Lava Pit, so Trash Compactor, you know, all of these things where the community not necessarily decided like we're going to pick up the slack, but just decided like this game is fun, but we were brainstorming and thought of this. And all of a sudden, like now it's a thing. Because that's another thing is you look at the community throughout Halo, the community has influenced so many things that are like now core parts of Halo. You know, you look at Halo 1 to Halo 2, I don't think the community was necessarily clamoring for, like, to play as different, like, elites and whatnot. But the big outcry was like, oh, you know, we wish we had more than just the difference between a blue, red, blue, and black, you know, like, very basic-looking Spartans. They're like, cool, we're going to add some extra customization options. We're going to add emblems. We're going to add in elites. And the community was like, sweet, we're down with this. And then from 2 to 3, they were like, well, we really enjoy making machinima and everything as, like, red versus blue, you know, really kicked off in Halo 2. And so they were like, cool, we see you. We're also going to make theater and then forge because we want you to build your own stuff. I think in Reach, you know, we had, like, to me, the pinnacle, the classic Reach, the pinnacle of, like, customization. Really being able to, like, hammer out exactly how you wanted your Spartan to look.
Mm-hmm.
The credit system notwithstanding, you know, I enjoyed the fact that like I could really be meticulous the way I looked, which is something that, and again, the community clamored for. In Halo 2, you know, like zombies became a thing, but it was that old school, like, hey, if I kill you, you have to swap. And so Halo 3 was like, hey, we're going to make this an actual thing. And so it became like a true blue game mode. I don't think SWAT was necessarily community influenced, but like shieldless, you know, combat was a thing that the community pushed for from the original to like two. And so, you know, SWAT became a big thing.
Well, and SWAT was a pretty popular amongst other shooters because you don't have shields necessarily. So I think that's
So like there were people who were playing basically, you know, shieldless Halo and they were like, hey, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
So to me, the community is the thing that keeps Halo going. Like, every once in a while, you might find Halo get a little stale because nothing's really come out. But that's just because you're not looking in the right place. All you have to do, in my opinion, is join a Fraggin' Friday, hashtag not sponsored, or just anything like that, where, like, the community is bringing forth their maps and their game types. Because that, to me, is, like, I remember on like Halo 3 or Halo Reach or whatever, we had on our old communities like Cyberline and stuff, we had game night. And, you know, people would bring their game types and their game modes. And I mean, that's to me where we found some of our wildest games, you know, was on game nights because someone was like, hey, I was playing with somebody else and I found this and I saved this and now I'm going to show you guys. And so it's like a virus. Somebody else is like, oh, wow, that's cool. And they save it. And then they take it to their friends. And then one of their friends saves it. And so something that was like one guy came up with it becomes organically spread without it necessarily having to be like, hey, featured game mode, download here. It's like you're playing with somebody and they were like, oh, hey, check this thing I got out. Like, just check this thing I played with somebody last week. And then you find it interesting and it just continues on. And to me, that's the beauty of the Halo community is that at least half of the game's like hype and experience is purely organic, purely you experienced it from a friend who experienced it from a friend and so on and such forth. So in a long-winded sort of way, that to me is what really brings me back to Halo is if nothing else, the community able to keep this game feeling at least semi-new and never stagnant.
Well, and to kind of touch on something that you had just said too, there's always stuff happening out there. There's always things in the community that are being made. Just look at everything that you see with the Halo Community Spotlight. There's always something going on.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, whatever you're interested in, like somebody's probably working on it and could use your help, you know, with machinimas, with audio podcasts. I remember with every game release, there was always, I don't remember his name, but he was the guy that would make like songs with like the gun sounds. Like he would shoot the guns to record their sounds, and then he'd make like beats with them and stuff.
I know there's a few out there. There's like one that from Team Fortress 2 that really comes to mind quickly, but I can't.
Well, I know there were some. I know there were some Halo ones because I remember like the Needler rifle had such a distinct sound that he made a whole thing on the Needler rifle. But like stuff like that, like no matter what you're interested in, there's a facet of it that you can get be a part of.
Yeah.
And I mean, even Halo at its core provides that. You know, do you like more fun stuff? Cool. Here's social playlists. Do you want to even go more ridiculous? You know, Action Sack. They're adding a custom server browser. Well, you more into the hardcore? Cool. Join the Arena League. Join, you know, the seasons, like, and play like the arena rule sets and stuff. and you know, from there, like, you can continue to pursue that, like, pro aspect. You can watch the streams, you can watch the HCS. Like, no matter how you play the game, there's somebody else that's playing it the same way you are, more than likely.
Yeah.
Unless you're me, who is not even good at the gunplay of Halo and has specialized in everything but guns.
There's people out there that are similar to that, though.
I do not. People are always like showing. I see people all the time. They share their, you know, like, oh, look how many BR kills I got. Oh man, yeah, check out my Needlers. And I'm like, most killed. What's my most used weapon? Ghost. Oh, so you like you're shooting people? Nope.
I mean, Duquesne would be right there with you on the whole vehicle combat thing.
He likes races, though.
Not just races, but yeah, mainly.
Yeah. I remember the panel. That's all he talked about.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Well, hopefully that gives people a little intro to who you are and what you're helping out with and your background with Halo. So thanks for sharing.
My background is messed up, so I'm giving you the foreground. If you ever hang out, like if you ever come to like a thing and you find dust and you see there's another like tall guy like being his shadow all creepy behind him, that's me.
Yep.
Especially that one time at PAX where I stood behind you for like 15 minutes.
Yeah. You know. That was funny.
That's still my favorite. That pops up every once in a while. I'm like, hey.
I had no clue.
The worst part was the cell delay. So like I'm sending you pictures of like your back going like this dude in front of me.
Then it's like I think I saw at one point I'm like, okay, this
you
is
saw the picture.
I'll look
what
at
was
it later.
Funny is, yeah, you saw the picture and then I texted you again and when you opened it up, I could see where you looked at the picture and like zoomed in with your finger, tilted your head back in confusion, and then turned around. I'm just like, hey.
Yeah, it was a good 5-10 minutes while you were standing there before I knew you were behind me.
It was great.
Yeah.
That just shows how long the lines are, but yeah, it was great.
Well, there's that too. So on the community highlights front, we have a few updates as we start wrapping things up here. ATS Pro Talk had episode 116, which...
They're close to the big one.
Yes.
The first big one.
Their next one. Well, I mean, their first big one was 100, but they've got 117 for the next episode.
Look, I got news. If it's a Halo podcast, your first one is your 117th episode.
I mean... Yeah, it's pretty close. I mean, people...
That's right.
Just to get to 100, just to get to that triple digits.
Oh, I mean, like, for sure. Like, I mean, my personal podcast is only, like, somewhere in the mid-50s. So, like, yeah, getting to 100 is a big deal consistently like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on, let's be honest. If you have a Halo podcast, your milestone is 117.
Yeah. They say it takes, like, what, 3 weeks to develop a habit at least? For podcasts, it takes at least...
3 years. No.
No. No, I would say
it
like
depends on what kind of podcast you're making. Like if you're making a weekly one, it's gonna take 3 months to make it a habit.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're doing it monthly, it might take longer, but it just depends.
Like if you get to 35, then you're probably good for a podcast. So yeah, 117 is gonna be their next one. It's gonna be a important number.
Hopefully they have someone big on. Oh, I said, hopefully they have someone big on.
I don't know what their plans are for 117. I don't know if they had a topic yet or not picked out. I had to check their Steve Discord. That'd be crazy. I've tried to get them on the show. I haven't had a chance to get that set up yet, but But for 116, ACS Pro Talk for their subject was, should Team Slayer stay in competitive Halo?
Yes, always.
There. Well, there's been a lot of discussion about this.
You can still go watch the podcast, but I'm just going to sum it up for you. Yes.
There's been some discussion around the community of what has Slayer really done for competitive Halo, and people are saying it's stale, or there's just doesn't really invoke a lot of strategy or kind of risk reward type things. So that's been something that's been on the.
I mean, I suppose, but like the good old classic 4v4 to me is always going to be a staple.
Yeah, but I do kind of agree where it doesn't really seem like deaths mean a lot until you get into those stalemate things where it's like 46, 47 type thing.
I suppose.
So it'd be nice to get back to some kind of point like that.
It'd be nice. Well, what they need to do is, I hate to use them as an example, but in Call of Duty, in certain like hardcore modes and everything, there's like a respawn delay. And that's, to me, what would really like hype things up if you could have like a power play situation.
I think for objectives, that'd be key. For Slayer...
For Slayer, it's not as big of a deal because like you're not able to get anything done in the interim except just getting more kills. Mm-hmm. And like no matter what situation you're in, if you have more people than the other team, it just means that there's less bodies for you to see to shoot.
So another thing I'm thinking of too is if you look at the popular games as far as shooters go, which is Overwatch, CSGO, a lot of those primary game modes are objective based.
Well, so CSGO, I mean, that was based on the Counter-Strike, and like that one was primarily, you know, basically search and destroy, like through and through.
Mm-hmm.
But Halo was always like a competitive shooter from the start, like whereas objectives were just secondary. So I mean, it's all about like how the game functioned at its core, and like Counter-Strike and Overwatch were objective first, and then they added team deathmatch. So I don't know if Halo could, like, that's why I thought it was weird seeing like getting rid of Team Slayer, because I'm like, no, that's like what the game was built on.
It was, but I do think there's something to be said there, especially with how things have changed just over the
I mean, I suppose, but You're changing like a core part of your gameplay if you get rid of
Well, you're not Slayer. Getting rid of it. You're just changing the priority on it.
I suppose.
I would still say keep Slayer in there, but maybe trade it out for...
Go listen to episode 116. They probably know way better than we do.
That's why I'm saying something about it.
Well, I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, to all our people who are listening to me ramble with no real opinion note, go listen to 116. They know way more than I do.
Fair point. On the podcast Evolve side of things, we have Mission Debrief episode 87, which is the mission Scarab from Halo Wars. Finish the Fight podcast released their episode 26, which is wrapping up the Bungie era of Halo. You can go check that out on podcast feeds and on their YouTube channel.
That's a good series.
It is. We actually plan to have them on the show. Not next time we record, but...
eventually. Build up the hype.
On March 19th.
Ah, you lost the hype.
We already announced this last week. They already know the day, so I'm just restating it.
Zero hype. Hype's gone.
Well, it's hype to get them to know when it is.
Eventually. Eventually, look, eventually I'll be back on there. There's your hype. Now people will never know.
This is true.
Now people will never know. They'll be like, oh, geez, when is this guy coming back on so I can unsub from that episode? But now they'll have to listen to everyone, and they're just going to be waiting for me. Do I hit pause yet?
Oh, geez.
That's called self-deprecation, kids. Moving on.
Anyways, yes, moving on. We're going to go on over to our community musings. We have our Halopedia's Trivia Tuesday.
Oh, I believe today is Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday.
Some trivia about Tuesday.
So, Ace, you want to take that one?
I do. What's interesting is this is involving some book knowledge. Did you know? Wait, how do they do it? Did you know that at the Voy? No. Did you know that the Voy Memorial? I think I'm pronouncing that like Voy,
yep.
Vowel, how are you?
Yep.
Among those present were Fred, Kelly, and Linda of Blue Team. For those of you who read the books, those names probably sound familiar. Franklin Mendez, head trainer of the Spartan 2s and 3s, and Kilo 5, who helped recover them from Onyx. Again, book knowledge, Ghosts of Onyx, highly recommend it. Especially to learn a lot about the Spartan 3 program and why Buck can suddenly become a Spartan.
Yep.
But yeah, that was that was interesting to think about, because, like, you know, Chief was part of Blue Team, and so it was neat that the other members of the Blue Team were there.
Yeah, and then they learned he was back, and then they were in Halo 5.
Yeah, and then skip forward, canon, and suddenly, yeah.
There you go, yeah. On the YouTube front, we have two new videos from Hidden Xperia. We mentioned that he had the Halo CEA MCC full campaign that he streamed. It's about 4.5 hours long. And he also has his Reach Mods number 5 video up.
I'm just going to point out that I love mods, and I am disappointed that I have not started that process with Halo yet.
I just haven't had time.
I remind me after this podcast, I have something in mind to mess with you that I'm going to do.
Okay.
I've planned it all out.
Fair enough. From Halo Canon, we have his monthly recap for the month of February. Go over to check that out. For Installation 01, only one new video from since our last recording. And this is back in the armory. This is the 16th installation for the Brute Shot. One of the weapons I missed in last week's poll. Anyways. From Ultimate Halo, we have 7 essential theater features Halo Infinite needs. I think you stole some of mine.
That's a very classic YouTube right there, saying like what something needs.
So Fletch has been doing this for the past few months. I want to say maybe close to 6 months. That's kind of like a 7 things in Halo type of a thing.
Oh yeah, I just mean like, anytime a new game comes out, like, those are always fun videos to watch of, like, this is what this game needs. This is what this game needs.
I mean, they help.
You know what he's doing? He's stealing your Halo Infinite ideas and
that's
putting
what
it in
I was
video
saying.
Form.
So, we were supposed to be working on a collab for, talking about little Halo Infinite ideas being kind of a collection for one of these top 7 video type things.
I'll get started on the paperwork.
Thank you. Are you going to be our legal advisor as well as our social media manager?
I'll be your illegal advisor. Nah. Yeah.
On the general kids side of things, we have 3 new videos. First one is Dare, but she's cheating on Buck. So this is all the cutscenes where Buck has been replaced by a brute.
Oh, that's
and nice. Other characters. And Halo 2, the secret Unicy aircraft that never came to be. And then in Halo 1, Camarines use active camo.
Today on Halo 1 Mythbusters.
Exactly. Digging through the game code to see what was commented out or left out. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
So yeah, that's it for this episode. Again, this is kind of impromptu. It actually went a little longer than I thought it would be. I thought it would be an hour and
yeah,
we're almost at an hour and a half.
That's the mistake of getting Ace on the podcast.
Hey, it works. At least it's not 2 hours, which is our normal.
Don't tempt me.
But no. No, I need to go to bed. It's almost 12:30. And you probably need to go to bed too.
I don't care.
Your wife's probably like, why is he on the microphone? This isn't Monday. Or no, you guys do Monday nights or Sunday nights?
Or what?
For
my recordings?
Yeah.
Oh no, I actually had literally just finished mine. And then you were like, you want to be on one? I was like, I guess we're going to do tonight.
There you go. Well, since we're at the end, why don't you go ahead and plug your personal socials and since you mentioned the other podcast, what you do there?
So if you guys want to see the little bits of information that I put out into the internetverse, it's Ace of Spades card on basically anything. I have tried my hardest to maintain synergy. So Twitter / Ace of Spades card, YouTube / Ace of Spades card. I have recently, like several other people, made the jump to Mixer. So I've been streaming more over on Mixer. Same thing. Username Synergy. Yeah, and I mean, I highly doubt our two ecospheres will line up. But the podcast that I personally do is called the Quick Pop Podcast, and it is a wrestling podcast. For all of you who believe in the pureness of the sport, go away. We are here completely here just for the madness that is professional wrestling as it exists today. So yeah, I don't know if those fears overlap, but hey, if they do, and you want to listen to a couple grown men recap the soap opera that is professional wrestling, then by all means, come check us out at the Quick Pop Podcast.
Very nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right.
Hey, I'm sure there's a nervous overlap and intersection there, so.
Yeah, you know, people who want to see Master Chief pile drive someone, I'm sure, are like, oh, wait, yeah, wrestling. Am I about that?
I mean, there's Haloid.
You know, you make a good point.
Yeah. Exactly. Did I get a one taken off for making a good point?
Well, you only had one.
I know. But getting back down to net zero feels nice.
I'm gonna hold this to I'm gonna lord those two over you.
All right. So on our next episode, we are going to have the folks from Project Autumn on the show to talk about their project a little bit. We'll have our next tier poll result, which will be the Halo vehicles. So this will include things like all the land vehicles that you can normally play in multiplayer, all the air vehicles, and we'll probably also throw in things like the long sword, the spirit dropship, the phantom, the pelican.
Things you can only get like real specifically, but technically do exist.
Right. The saber. Like none of the like space faring vehicles, like the big ones.
Include the scarab?
Yes. The scarab will be included. So
hashtag fun glitch.
Yeah, right. So that'll be next week. And then again, the following week will be the Finish the Fight folks. And at some point in there will be our next book show.
Those are always interesting because every time I see that you're doing this, I'm like, how are they going to do an entire thing on just like a book? And then like I listen to them, I'm like, dang, there was something to talk about the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Bravo. Yeah. So like we mentioned on the last podcast, I am finished with Smoke and Shadow, so that will be the next one we're talking about. I will be starting Halo Renegades, and I have a work trip coming up, so I will probably be able to read that on the plane. So Halo Renegades will be done, so probably within the next 2 months or so, we'll be covering both of those books and moving on to our next books afterwards there. So Smoke and Shadow hopefully will be at the end of this month, and then Renegades sometime in April.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So read along if you want to not get left in the dust. If you have the books,
did
and
you
have
just the, say get left in the dust.
Yes, that was not intentional.
It felt intentional.
It was not intentional.
It's going forward.
Okay. So those are the two books, so make sure you read up on both of those, and then once we get through those, we'll make sure to let you guys know where we're going next with the books.
So you don't get left in the dust.
Hey, you said it that time, not me.
It's called a callback.
Callback needs a little more buffer time, I think, in there.
Any time in the past is a callback. That callback was a callback.
Gosh. Okay.
Don't worry, guys. Next week, Godzilla will be back on, and you have a much more streamlined, less ridiculous. But I'll be in the chat to ruin it, so it's okay.
Ace keeps me on my toes.
Oh, something like that.
Yeah.
Even though you're taller than me, but
I knew you were going to say something about that. I knew you were going to say something about that.
So I don't know how I'm keeping you on your toes. You're way taller than me. I got tiptoe look at you. It's whatever, though.
You can find us on all of social media platforms, minus MySpace pens.
Oh, dang.
We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find us live streaming on Thursdays normally at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time for our podcast. Again, we did not do it this week because I have a work trip and I will not be here. So we did this little impromptu thing before I left. So this should be actually releasing on the day we normally do podcasts, so on Thursday. But we'll be back next week with the live show, with the Project Autumn folks and GT back in the hot seat. And we'll also be checking out the weapon poll, like I said before. You can also check out Fragment Fridays. That should still be happening on Friday. Again, the poll for the game that you want in on the platform will be in our Discord server. So if you want to be a part of that poll and intend on playing, then please head on over to podtaggler.com/Discord. Look for the game night channel and cast your vote there on Fridays. And then on Sundays is normally our achievement night. We will not be doing it this week because, again, work trip. But the following week, we'll be resuming with Halo Wars 2, trying to get that one finished out. And then we'll be figuring out where we're going to go from there, whether it's going to be MCC or maybe try to get a couple of people in to try to get some of those FFA Halo 3 achievements. Those pain in the butt ones.
And all achievements are a pain in the butt for me.
Not every single one of them.
I tried starting the menu to get that achievement. Didn't work.
Wait, what?
I'm making a joke. Move on.
Okay. Half the time I don't know if Ace is serious or not. So
that's the beauty.
Yeah. That's the frustrating part of Ace.
Beauty.
Frustrating. Anyways, that'll be it for tonight's episode. Thank you, everyone, for downloading us and tuning in. Again, sorry this wasn't live, but this was very impromptu.
He didn't want to show me. He's ashamed of me.
No. I look better. I mean, that might be true, but I'm still not ashamed. Anyways, we'll catch you guys on the next one. Thanks again for listening, and as always, keep on fragging them trucks.